That's just good right there. Hey, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering all of North Alabama, going into one of my favorite segments here. So these guys, literally, the stuff that we do at Right Side is far more comprehensive than just me speaking into a microphone. I mean, I've got Boomer's not only running the board, but he's keeping the tech alive. I mean, there's times when he's rewiring things. More than once, he has jumped up, grabbed a wire, and replaced it in the middle of a segment while I'm on the air. And I love that. It does a lot to help me with the resourcing on the show daily. And then Birdman's in the background. You know, the website, the functionality, the ability to have the Right Side store and all the things that we do. And then, you know, podcasting gets put up where y'all can get to it, which is, you know, hitting epic levels. All that to say, these two guys do a great job, but they also have opinions. So once a week, we do this thing called Boomer and the Birdman and get their opinions on things. But let me check the roll. Of course, Boomer, you are here.
Check.
Check. And your microphone's on this time.
I had it unmuted this time. I was ready.
All right. And do we have a Birdman? Are you with us, bud?
I am.
You are indeed. Nice, clear connection. All right, good deal. Well, I pronounce a quorum for Boomer and the Birdman, so hit that sound. All right. All right, fellas, you know the deal. I sling a question or two at you. Sometimes you sling a question or two back at me, and we just see what your thoughts are. No wrong or right answer. Anyway, here's question number one. You ready? There's been a lot of talk about military recruiting being way down below the marker. I mean, like 40% right now below the reduced levels they were shooting for. So let me ask you, you guys, younger generation than me, does your generation still view military service as an honorable option? You included, but then just speak to that in general. Boomer, you first.
I believe absolutely yes for my generation. I mean, I have a lot of friends that were in the military and are in the military. And in our eyes, it's a prestigious, prestigious thing, and you're fighting for your country. That's one thing that I was never a part of and partly regret. But for my friends and fellow Americans that were in my generation and even that are not, I am very honored and respect for what you're doing it for our country.
You know, well, thank you. And so, I mean, like literally, you could be folks your age. I mean, folks you graduated high school with could actually be nearing their 20-year retirement right now.
Correct.
I mean, that's an amazing thing to think about. But what do you think? Is the recruiting down because it's a generational thing, or is it down because of other reasons?
Well, in my head, it has to play with maybe both scenarios. In my head, is it may be a generational thing. I look at it as the new and upcoming generations are all tech savvy and into themselves and in those areas. But I also see it as some things that we've been talking about on the show is some of the things that they're asking the military now or of, like the vaccinations.
Yeah.
And areas of, I mean, specifically that. And now what I read about more so than anything is them spending a little bit more time talking about gender and instead of actually what they're there to do is defend our country.
Being warfighters.
I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with it.
All right, Birdman, you come from a few years younger in age now than the Boomer. So your thoughts, your generation, is it still honorable to serve in the military? Is it still a thing?
From a personal standpoint, of course, it's honorable. I've had nothing but, you know, the utmost respect. And you know, Boomer touched on this as well. You know, I wanted to join for the majority of my life. As a matter of fact, you and I have had this conversation numerous times.
Yeah.
That said, from my generation, I'm actually going to have to disagree pretty heavily with what Boomer was saying. And I think the younger generation, whereas he's not wrong about that, I think from a military standpoint, a lot of my generation doesn't view it with the same amount of honor. And my friends, I have had this conversation before with them. Their position on it is not a problem with the military itself. It is the administration that is guiding the military currently.
Okay.
A lot of these people don't want to go in And, you know, obviously you're serving your country, but you're being directed by the administration that you believe is so wholly corrupt. I don't want to swear allegiance to an administration that I vehemently disagree with, although I believe that you can serve your country outside of the military, and that is absolutely worth dying for, because at the end of the day, it's all about serving your country. It's not about the title that comes with.
Well, yeah, and I'll be honest. I mean, I served through the Obama era, and it was frustrating. There were things that the Obama era brought into the military lifestyle that were more difficult. I also didn't appreciate some of the ways they handled things when troops were downrange. But you just do. I mean, there's an old sort of train of thought in the U.S. military, unlike any other army in the world, unlike most armies in the world. In the U.S. military, you can't just say go do and it gets done because you were told to go do. You have to also tell them why. And not that you're allowed to question orders. What I'm saying is the U.S. society, the more free-thinking aspects of U.S. society requires troops to be to understand why they're doing what they're doing. And you're right. I think when you begin to mislabel the reasons why the military is there at all, or when you give them misguided intent, it destroys some of the why. Well, anyway, there's that. All right, let me go to the next question. Now, I'm starting with you first there, Birdman. So, all right, we just talked about military service, but let me ask you this. For your generation, what do you think is the biggest challenge? I mean, it just in general. I mean, what are y'all looking at when you see the political environment, the social environment, the fiscal environment, whatever? What is the biggest challenge for your generation, you think?
Culture. It's culture.
Okay.
Going against the culture and being willing to take your licks, especially if you're a Christian, it's culture. That's the hardest thing on a day in and day out scale. You have to fight that every single day. On the public realm, social media, person to person, yeah, this culture wants to lead us in a lot, in almost in all ways, opposite of what the Bible and God has called us to do and be. And you have to fight that on every single step.
Is there any particular aspect of culture in general?
I mean, I think it's culture as a whole. And I think the way that we're viewing things top down, you know, government down, I think it starts with education. And I think a lot of issues start with education. But, you know, when I was probably in middle school, we stopped saying the Pledge of Allegiance. We stopped doing, we stop praying in schools, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, it's a top-down thing. And if you don't make that formation from the start, it will never build its way back up. And, you know, that's where the family, the nuclear family, conversations around the dinner table, that's where that stuff has to be reinforced. And it feels like it isn't in our culture anymore.
All right, Boomer, your thoughts, your generation. You're 10 years older, I guess.
About, yeah.
Where are you at with it? What your generation's challenges?
My generation challenges, honestly, what I believe is, I think my generation has challenges with finances. I mean, in certain aspects. I know just doing, you know, research in the past and stuff, I know that my generation has a lot in debt in certain areas. And
yeah.
Then, you know, with taking care of their parents coming up and then also new kids and stuff like that. It's just, it's been a situation where they're having to learn. And then also the inflation of schools going, you know, when I went to school versus when, you know, our parents went to school, it's just a lot more expensive in a lot of different areas. And I know a lot of people are starting to experience that now, especially in the past few years, the inflation going up in certain areas. But I do know a lot of my peers have experienced a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean your age group is trying to grow a family, mm-hmm. Maybe getting out of their student debt finally, and then at the same time struggles with wanting to buy the house versus rent the house or whatever else.
And that's one thing that I did research a little while ago on housing, because I was just interested. And, you know, because a lot of my generation has bought houses.
Yeah.
But how much debt has my generation been in buying houses? And that was a big thing.
Well, you know, and I look at it too, and I wonder. So your generation, Boomer, I'm talking to you, mm-hmm. but your generation, I'm talking to you, Boomer.
Right.
but your generation, Are y'all less influenced by the craziness of culture that Birdman was talking about?
I would believe so. I mean, maybe a little of it.
I would have predicted so.
Right.
I would think that TikTok influencers have less influence over your generation.
I would say so. I mean, most of my generation, I would say, has a lot less influence.
I mean, at your point, if people want to consider themselves furries, they're usually cast out.
Absolutely. If there was a furry in my generation or class, they wouldn't have been there.
All right. Listen, I tell you what, let's do this. That's a perfect time for us to go ahead and take the break. So there's the first couple of questions on Boomer and the Birdman. I love it. You guys... It brings a different perspective. It's not just me, the old guy with the microphone. We'll come back. More of this. In fact, got it on the slate again. They get to ask me questions. I don't even know what they are yet. We'll find out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More with Boomer and the Birdman right after this. Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. We're in one of my favorite times of every single week. We got two guys who are helpful, and not more than helpful, who are responsible for making the show work. I mean, literally, I can't do what I do without them. And so, yeah, Boomer and the Birdman. And we do this segment now where they get some time to sort of share their opinion. So we just ran through the first segment of Boomer and the Birdman. And then last time we did this, on a whim, I flipped the tables and said, y'all ask me a question. And so I'm going to do that again today at great risk to my own reputation. I'm going to go ahead and say, you guys can ask me. So, Boomer, you're first, man. Question for me. What do you got? I don't even know what it is.
All right. Christian nationalism.
Oh, Lord.
So what my question is to you is, are they just going after the religion? And what are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, we did a segment on that, about a week or so ago.
Yeah.
So Christian nationalism, if you go out there and Google it, Google Christian nationalism, first of all, it's going to be like prolific, the number of opinion writers and different, you know, liberal rags that are out there publishing stories that are allegedly about Christian nationalism. And the thing is, you can look down the line. It's going to be like Axios, The Daily Beast, Politico, and it's like CNN. And they're just like, Christian, we got to watch out for Christian nationalism with ties to white extremism. What does that even mean? So first of all, I reject it. Do I believe that there are... I mean, I believe that there are people who carry Bibles who are nuts. I mean, if you look at Scripture... Satan knew the Bible as well as anybody. In fact, when Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan was quoting Scripture to him to try and tempt him. I mean, he knows how to say it. It doesn't mean he's going to abide by it. Mm-hmm. So do I believe there are people out there carrying around the flag of Christianity who really don't even know Jesus personally? Sure. But this whole thing that's being concocted right now, to me, is another red herring. They got to have something to attack. They got to have something to create fear. And so the idea of Christian nationalism to me is just a farcical opportunity by the liberal media to construct this narrative that we are a systemically racist nation and that there are problems with our people, and that their latest one is to say, you know, white cisgender male Christian conservatives, we got to watch it. I mean, how many more labels can they put on apparently me, for that matter?
And they're specifically going after white Christians. A lot of these. Crazy articles are labeling white Christians bad. I mean, yeah, like you said, there are some crazy people out there.
Yeah.
But it's just what it seems like to me is the fact of, okay, are they going right after our religion? And are they going to, I mean, well, not what the Bible, I mean, not persecute us here in the United States, but I mean...
Well, so and part of that is the liberals tend to always view things through what is referred to as intersectionality. Mm. They define something, and like for instance, let's say for instance, you're a gay person, but then if you're a gay black person, you have two of the oppressed minorities in their opinion are now intersected. So you have intersectionality of your issues. Mm. You're both gay and you're black. In this case, then they also have to attack people, and you can label people, and they can have intersectionality of their narratives. So the narrative on the one hand is white supremacy, white privilege, and then if they go ahead and realize, wait a minute, one of our other intersectionalities that we support is the LGBTQ, and oh, by the way, the Bible does not support that. Now what are we going to do? Quick, what can we do? Oh, I know, white privilege intersects with Christian, nationalism. Anyway, that's crazy. So. I think it's hype. I think it's an attempt by them to label the new, boogie bear. Birdman, you got a question for me?
Yeah. So, it came out today. I think it was this morning about how Fauci is confirmed that he's retiring and yada yada.
Woohoo!
Yeah, our side of the aisle doesn't exactly think that highly of Fauci, I think is safe to say. So my question for you is, given this whole situation, when he's gone, what do you think is going to happen after that? Is there going to be somebody else that's going to rise to the top in this position and start leading the charge and send us back through the same amount of nonsense? Or do you think this is going to be a stepping off point where people are going to go, okay, let's start making decisions for ourselves instead of some whack job that's going to tell us everything that we need to know? What's your thoughts on this, how this is going to play out?
Well, first of all, I would be remiss if I didn't quickly say, ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. But all right. But so, yeah. First of all, you know what? I guess I got to go back and check. I'm not sure how a person in Fauci's position attains that position. I don't think it's confirmed by the Senate, is it? I'm not aware that it is.
I don't believe so.
But it's amazing how much is confirmed by the Senate. So it's going to depend on the pool from which they choose. Are they going to find somebody who's been a Fauciite and promote the person up? Are they going to go out and find somebody to try to reform the image? You know, the CDC just came out just the other day and basically announced, yeah, we've been getting a whole lot wrong. We got to do things better. Well, hello. Thank you. We've been telling you that now for the last year and a half. But so to answer your question, I think it depends on how they go about the hiring process, what they're looking for, and then do they find somebody with the intent of not being Fauci? You know what I'm saying? If they're gonna say, listen, I know Fauci, listen, we're jaded with you, the public doesn't like you, we need you out of the way. If they're gonna say, let's get him out of the way, but then they're gonna replace him with somebody like him, bad juju.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm not sure I answered the question, but I think I did.
No, you did.
Okay, good enough. All right. All right, then the last part here. You guys always find the stories that I have not seen. And I like to think that I've seen a lot of them. But then we do this thing, stupidest story of the week, as you guys wrap up this segment. Stupidest story of the week. And you guys come up with some crazy, stupid stories. I'm going to Birdman first this time. Birdman, stupidest story of the week. What you got?
Well, it's California again. Yep. So Los Angeles Public Health has officially come out and said that taxpayer dollars are now being used to test animals, specifically house pets, for COVID-19. They have so far tested 177 animals. Shocker, zero of them have been tested positive. But it's good to know where the Los Angeles County tax money's going to, because that's beautiful.
We ran out of time. Is the music playing already?
Yeah, that's the music.
Good Lord. Well, tell me real quick, what is yours?
Nashville protesters cement their feet in front of Starbucks because of the vegan milk.
I've seen that one.
Nice.
I've seen that one. That's going to show them.
I had to show that because I'm, just came back.
You're not
going to
give me vegan milk. I'm going to bury my feet in concrete, throw myself off a bridge. We'll show you. All right, Boomer and the Birdman. Love you guys. You do amazing work. Thanks for what you do. And folks, listen, we got a lot more of the show left. 4 o'clock right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.